Charlie's on our prayer list, and those at Providence Place, Katie Hensley, Mr. and Mrs. Leathers, and Jimmy Mabry at Diversity Care. Iris Castile is doing better, and she's at home, correct?
She's at home.
She is home, and let's continue to pray for her and her family. Along with Wayne Lester, he's back at home and improving. Let's continue to pray for him and the family. Also, Ms. Nell's doing good. We're proud of that. Let's continue to pray for her. And don't know if there's any improvement with Joyce Laughlin. That's the
Sandra's
sister-in-law. And speaking of Sandra and Richard, Richard has shingles on his face. And let's pray it doesn't get in his eyes.
It is in his eyes.
Oh, it is in his eyes?
One of his eyes.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And we didn't know that, but let's continue to pray for Richard and Sandra and hope that improves quickly. The December 12th holiday at the Osbournes is called off because of all this COVID and everything else that's going on. So we'll miss that, but hopefully we'll have it next year. And Brother Rodriguez of Fort Worth passed away with the COVID here this week, this past week. And Brother Robert knew him, and let's continue to pray for that family. I don't think I have anything else. Did I miss anything, or anybody have anything we need to announce? If not, in the service and song.
Yes.
It's good to see everyone this morning.
Yeah.
Let's open our song books to number 439. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus will save. Though they are sliding him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive. Perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength from thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save.
5, 6, 3. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Supper, let's turn to number 383. Excuse me. 383. And we'll sing verse 2, 3, and then 1. May we keep in
take his cup, food, wine, and represents the blood, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Lord, we're going to give back part of what we earn in our work to the church. We ask in the name of the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have 22 present this morning. Today is November 29th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books at number 671. 671 would be the song of invitation. Once you've marked that, let's turn to number 72. Come, let us all unite to sing. God is all. Let heaven and earth their praises bring. God is all. Let every soul from sin.
Spirit's cheer, God is love.
lot of memories come to mind during the time of Thanksgiving. Not only memories of foods that we've enjoyed in days gone by at Grandma's house or Mama's Daddy's house, but also of the people who were involved in it at the very first time or as they came along the way at the very latest time. Good things are there about it. And we remember that with fondness and with smiles and sometimes with laughter because it happened in such a funny way as it did occur. We enjoy the memories of things gone by. There are those who involve themselves with anniversaries, especially during this time of the year. There are those who involve themselves with having gotten married a year or so ago, or 15 years ago, or 50 years ago, or better, of time. And a lot of good memories about that. And a lot of good memories about the people that we were with and the events that took place around that particular time. It is a good thing to talk about a time of anniversary. It's a good thing for us to talk about anything that we remember that has been a help to us. We remember friendships that have been particularly helpful to us in life. And as a result of having those friends in life, we have become people that we are today. I remember the folks that wanted me to be a part of newspaper reporting when I was in high school, and call the high school people there and ask them or somebody they could recommend to do the sports stuff for them. And they recommended me. And I went down to the Star Herald Company, and there I was with them. And unusual people that were there, a part of that way of life. I knew later on it was their natural way of doing things, natural way of talking about things. And everything that we did was there for the benefit of the readers of the newspaper. And in the summertime, when there was not a lot of sports events going on, they called on me to go and renew the subscriptions. Not realizing that when I went to the houses for people to renew their subscriptions for the newspaper for the following year, that they would tell me what they liked about the paper, and also they would tell me what they wished would happen in the paper to be better for them. And so I came back to the office to explain the things that people said, and they were looking for those things because during the year, as they read and didn't read, they found themselves wanting to have certain thing to be mentioned in the paper, and it wasn't there, and vice versa. And so they paid me to do that. In the winter, in the fall time of the year, of course, there was football time to begin underway, and then basketball time, and then springtime for the baseball games and stuff. And though I didn't play so well in those particular events of time, I did report it well, and I got to talk to a lot of coaches about those type of things in life. Things that I yet remember and things I yet enjoy contemplating in memory. I'm warned in Luke chapter 9 and the last verse, 62, of anyone who finds himself remembering too much of days gone by. He says regarding a person who remembers too much of what days have gone by, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. If we live by the things of the past, we don't see the things present, much less the things just down the road. Many a wreck has happened to individuals in automobile, thinking somewhere else and another thought crossed their mind and not realizing they were going across the yellow line, the center line, and an accident was fixed to take place. Only too late did they find themselves responding. Some found themselves jerking back into their lane too erratically and going off the far end of that lane into the trees. And death came about for them. Some survived it, only to say that they wouldn't have ever been there at that particular spot had it not been for the fact that their mind was on something else that they'd seen along the way of their drive, and they had their minds thinking that, and they were not seeing where they were driving at that time until it was too late, pulling away, found themselves in the midst of an accident. When we find ourselves being people who live by the past, it's a sad occasion for us many times. But there are yet some things that are memorials that we enjoy very much. And if sometime we were to have the memorial in our mind too much, and miss Grandpa and Grandma too much, we would never enjoy the family that we have, the children we have. And they will begin to talk about us from the standpoint of how we talk about those old people back yonder and the old pictures that they saw, and how that, they don't ever see themselves doing that same thing too. But they probably will in their day and time. But in regard to our way of life, God had some memorials He wished for us to remember. He wished for us to remember that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in Luke chapter 10 at verse 18 and 19, Jesus talked about that in regard to the days in which there was a man forgiven, Zacchaeus, and how that Jesus had come to seek and save that which was lost. Aren't we thankful that He did come to seek and save the lost? And aren't we thankful for the good principles that He taught? In one of our songs this morning, we were singing about the good memories that we have of the promises of God that He has given to us in days gone by. How do we read of those promises and know those promises? But that we read in the Bible of those promises that God has given to us. And how that those promises being fulfilled in us can be a reward to us and a real blessing for us. And how it can be sad for us if we fail to honor those promises in our daily walk of life. When the Bible speaks in regard to these matters, it's talking about things that God wanted us to remember and wanted us to enjoy the memory of, because we remember a day that's gone by. When the Apostle Paul says regarding his previous way of life before he came to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and the way of Christ Jesus' teaching, he spoke in regard to how he had mistreated others, how he had taken advantage of others, and how I received the forgiveness from God because of my ignorance and unbelief. He was said, I did this because I was ignorant of the true facts of the matter. And I did this because of my unbelief in the Christ Jesus as a result of those ways that I was thinking. And so he's happy and pleased that he now has that forgiveness of the Lord and enjoys that forgiveness. And as he talked to the brethren at Rome in regard to this matter in Romans 6, he says that we are thankful to God. In Romans 6 at 18, but God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to you. The form that he's talking about is the form read in that context of Romans chapter 6, that thou coming to be baptized into Christ, into the death of Christ, and raised to walk in newness of life, the resurrection of Christ. And so he says, you've obeyed that form of doctrine delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants, and the word servant, enslaved, you became enslaved under righteousness. How thankful we are to be that way, that we have found a slavery to do what's right. And when we are a slave to do what's right and we don't say what's right and we don't do what's right, we have within us a conscience. We have within us a personal vendetta of a man that's telling us, whoa, this is not right. This is a lie that you're telling yourself. This is something that you really are not. And as a result of that feeling that we have within us, we come to 1 John 1 and 9. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we do what? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We who, 1 John 1 verses 4, 5, and 6, or in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Paul had come into fellowship with the Father and the Son. And as a result of that, he was thankful to God that they were the servants of sin, but obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to them. Being then made free from sin. And then when he sinned again, when he did what was wrong again, He found himself looking at it in Romans 7 and regretting. He said, sin became death unto me. It became death unto me. The old principles of the law that brought up the ideas of sin were death unto me. And he said, that's not what I wanted. And he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ our Lord that I have freedom from that. And as John writes regarding that freedom, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. We who are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. We made a plan with him back yonder when. And as we became in fellowship with the Father and the Son, we found ourselves rejoicing in the forgiveness that he's offered to us. And so he says there in just this way that God works with our lives. And he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to mention this particular fact. We need to mention the fact that unrighteous thoughts and unrighteous plans and unrighteous activities are begun first in the mind, with our thinking, with our plotting, with our planning, with our getting away with it. We find ourselves not being able to get away from it, and we find ourselves guilty of sin and wrongdoing. What can we do with that sin? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All the unrighteousness that led us to do those sins and led us to be that kind of person, led us to say those words and do those deeds, are those things that the Lord works with our lives on. And when we hear good preaching about it, when we hear good teaching about it, when we see a good movie about it, we find ourselves enjoying the way of life, and now then we begin to think about the way I used to think and the way I used to do with those thoughts and how that they now have been taken by the Lord himself away from us. It may take for some a long period of time. It may take for some many times of saying I'm wrong to God and his forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. But that word all put there in way of unrighteousness is in reference to all those kind of things. That we have a friend who says wrong words. We have a movie that has wrong thoughts and words about it. We have a lot of things in life that are not right and good. And we find those things beginning to influence us. And he's beginning to cleanse those things from us. All unrighteousness. And so the unrighteous ways of life we can do. And there's a time each week that we find ourselves upon the first day of the week remembering that this is what his body and his blood did. Would you turn with me now to the Bible, to the book of Matthew chapter 26, and let's read there verse 26, beginning about this idea of how the Lord wants us to remember his son and remember what he did and how Jesus was so compliant with that and he wanted to remember the things that happened. In Matthew 26, beginning verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples saying, take, eat, this is my body. He didn't mean for each one of them to think that they should have a whole loaf to eat or drink all of the grape juice, a half a gallon, a quart at a time. He wanted them to remember the significance of the body and blood, illustrated by that part of the bread that he then handed to them. He gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. The words ye all, meaning every one of you disciples, including the one who is fixing to betray me, including the one who is lifting his hand and his heel against me this day. Do this. All of you partake of it. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. There are two different words for new that are used in the text of the Bible. One, new, is in reference to the newness of life, newness of ways that we do things. The other is new in sense of time. This is new as opposed to years ago and times ago. In reference to this matter, Jesus is saying, I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. When I'm in heaven and you are on earth drinking of this fruit of the vine, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, I am there remembering with you what took place. As you remember by this fruit of the vine, my blood was shed for many for the remission of sins. And if we think about it like we should, I'm persuaded, as one old brother said to me years and years ago, I believe you taught it right, preacher. Sometimes it gets to me. Sometimes my heart is so heavy. Sometimes I remember so well what Jesus did for me. In case we would ever forget all that particular time, I want to ask you now to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. You've heard it quoted and cited many times in reference to how important it is for us to obey the Lord and be followers of His way. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7, 8, and 9, though we were a son, we quoted that many times, and many preachers in this pulpit have cited, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience for the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. And we emphasize, don't leave this building without obeying him. Don't leave this gospel meeting program without obeying him. Be ready to obey him and be responsive. And there are people who would be so convicted by that, they would step up out of the pew and begin coming down the aisle even at that point in time. I've seen that happen. Sometimes we find ourselves needing to contemplate it, need to think about it more. And here the Hebrew writer has the words of the Lord to tell us about that in verse 7. Talking about this Jesus Christ, who became the priest after the order of Melchizedek. Not the Levitical order, but the order of God. He says in verse 8, though he were a son. But in verse 7 he says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, he begged with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He had such wonderful respect for God's way. You see, God the Father had told his son, when you go to earth and you tell the people and show the people what the prophets really meant by what they said, how they meant for the heart to be involved in this matter of obeying and offering these animal sacrifices, how they were to really involve themselves with realizing that sin had caused this to happen. And this sacrifice was being offered as a reminder that this sin had been done in their lives. But they had come to a time where they were going to forget that. They were just doing the ritual of the offering. And son, as you go there to teach them, they're not going to receive it well. They're going to reject you. They're going to hate you. You will be their Lord and Savior. You will go there to seek and save the lost. You will teach them that. But they will not want to accept it. To the extent that in the days of the Romans, like Daniel would say, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. This kingdom of God, the church referred to in the book of Colossians chapter 1, as we find ourselves coming into forgiveness with His blood and into the kingdom of His dear Son. Read it there in Colossians 1 at 13 in reference to the kingdom. And read in chapter 4 at verse 16 about, take this letter to the church at Laodicea and let them read this. And you get the letter I wrote to Laodicea and bring it back to Colossae. They were the same people. The church people had the same rudiments and the same teachings that the kingdom people had. And they were made part of the kingdom by the blood of Christ. As they obeyed the gospel, they were cleansed by the blood of Christ there at Colossae, just like the Romans were. And they were made new. When they were raised to walk in newness of life, they had a new way to walk and to do. They had a wonderful memory of the fact that they had sinned that had been forgiven. Never held to account anymore. Never this way. Here is Jesus being told, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, that learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For when the time is come that ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and not such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to him that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He's saying that Jesus came with prayers, supplication, strong crying, and tears as he faced the death of the cross. And as this old gentleman said to me, sometimes I sense that more than I ever did before. What he really did to pardon me of my sins. This is great. And it was through the valley of death that Jesus came and offered that. And you'll read about it on page 2 today, the value of the Lord's Supper. The valley of the Lord's Supper is what he's talking about. What a blessing to be with you today. If there's anyone subject to Jesus' invitation today, to come as he has said and save the lost, and to restore you to a way of life that you wish to have, would you come now as we stand together and as we sing?
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come for the table.
Now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed.
That invitation. God for full salvation, the whosoever will, for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast, leave every care and worldly strife. Come feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life. Hear the invitation, whosoever will. Hear that invitation, whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will, for whosoever will.
Would you at this point in time join me in a word of prayer for the Rodriguez family down in Texas? Because he was a wonderful man, 43 years of age, and this COVID-19 was fatal to him. And with his wife and children and family and the work he was doing, he was a man who studied quickly and easily because of his background that he had. He could learn the languages of biblical language time, Hebrew, Greek, and all. He was a man very skilled, did wonderful work up in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was encouraged to go ahead and take that position that they offered him at the Brown Trail School of Preaching in Fort Worth, Texas, and to preach for a congregation there. Join me in prayer for his family, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee so much for the memories that we have of those who have gone before us, in particular at this time of the memory of Brother Rodriguez. How serious he was in this thing of the Lord's Supper and remembering the body and blood of Christ offered him pardon from sin. Father, we thank thee for his memory with us, and we're prayerful for his family during this time, that they'll be cared for and that they will be able to go on in life with the good memory that they have and the good ways of life that he taught each one to live. In Jesus' humble name, amen. Look forward to seeing you guys.
Let's turn to number 216.
Here we are, but strange pilgrims, here our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey still, we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the rescue giver, our Lord's name.
Bless you and everybody. Appreciate your life.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Boy, that good man Tony.
You got to go. Me. Good to see you.
You too. You too. Take care.
Good.
Good to see you this morning. Good to see you. Yeah. We're doing well. We'd have a way of doing it. God bless you in every way for good. We only had half of our family available to come with us, but we enjoyed it.
He's having some surgery. Send his son, Michael Mueller.
Yes, that's right.
Surgery tonight.
Thank you. Well, I'm sure we will do. Yes, ma'am. Michael Mueller. Yeah.
Good lesson, Brother Robert.
Thank you.
Very good.
Appreciate
good to see you. Appreciate you. Every way. For good.
I seen a guy on television. Look like that. Dressed and looking just like him. Oh, Biden was his name.
Oh, is that right? Well,
we got fans like that.
We got him to pray about.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
We better pray a lot for him.
Boy, a lot for him. That's right. Good to see you this morning. God bless you. Be careful as you go. Appreciate you. Look forward to seeing you shortly. Thank you. Good to see you, brother. Appreciate you. I don't know how that functioned for us at all last week. Put it on. Stand for it. The end out of it was not going to be right. Somebody got there now.